Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
To the program. I don't know if I'm going to be breaking up or not. The phone is giving me trouble. I'm actually calling in from my cell phone, believe it or not. I'm actually calling in from my cell phone. So I'm hoping that y'all can hear me out there. This is Phil Armstrong. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. We have an exciting show for you today. We have Val Volano there from the Women's Ministry Alliance Network. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of interesting topics. Practice of a lot of kids are in the occult these days, playing those Dungeons and Dragons games. This, at least the last time I saw Dungeons and Dragons played, was a while back, but I'm pretty sure they've modernized for right now. So we're going to be against that, and also demonic influence. And we're also going to be talking about some of the most important things, like salvation and influence of society on salvation. We're going to be talking about end time Bible prophecy, and that's always important. Because Jesus Christ may intervene back in history, and we must be prepared. We must be prepared. God is good. He really is. And I know He's good because He has seen me through a lot of situations. And I think that is the most important thing that we must look at. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Okay, I'm back. The last time I went off, before I went off, I was kind of looking at something. So if it seems like I'm kind of dragging, it might be the case, or it might be my kids acting up. But I had to take a walk to the mailbox, and I'm going to show you how God works. Me and my wife just woke up and smelled the coffee. It took me 41 years to find out. I remember Joyce Myers was saying, I'm not really 100% a follower of Joyce Myers, but she said some key thing in my life, believe it or not. Actually, she has a good book called The Battle of the Mind. But anyway, she has said a key thing. She said, you're not, once you find out you're stupid, you're stupid. I mean, you're no longer stupid. And she said, what does she mean by that? Once you're doing something the wrong way, like for instance, your finances. Now, I don't mean that word literally stupid. We're not dumb. But as far as when you find out you're handling your finances wrong, you just got a lot smarter. It's when you just continue to naively manage money. Now, I ain't trying to be funny. I'm not one of those people who believe God is a magic person or presto change up. You pay, send me $5 and I'll send you a cloth, and you better send me $500 and God will multiply that by 50. But I do believe in the principles of God. So I went to the mailbox. Okay, we're late. Something happened where our account got messed up. So we were late on the rent. So we had to take that rent and do something else with it. So now God is starting to bless. Anyway, I went to the mailbox, and believe it or not, there was a rent notice and then at the same time, there was a RS check. So is God trying to say something or what? That's weird. I mean, there's a rent check saying, but our rent company is pretty patient with us throughout the years. That's not the point. They have to go through procedure. But it's just like, it's God trying to say something. He say, trust me. Trust me. I mean, he just sent me, why would anybody send that much money through the mail behoove me? But it's just the thing that God has that arranged so he can say, stamp my name on it. That's me talking. I just blessed you. Now, I don't believe in all that, you know, mumbo jumbo. You give me $50, $20. Some of you single moms need to send me $400. Even though you're broke, God's going to bless you. Okay. didn't it say somewhere in the Bible that God was saying, do not send your family's money, your last penny? I have to find that for you, God. But it's somewhere in the New Testament. Do not, and it also says, do not send out of compulsion. So we have to look at that kind of stuff. Well, the next guest, oh, my gosh, she's awesome. Actually, I would like, I'll need to get her to help me with my knee. But anyway, she's Operation 13, I don't know, Revelation 13, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but she helps run that website, and she also has a ministry, Women's Ministry Alliance Network, which I want her to talk about on the program tonight, because we need to spread the word. And the prophecy zone just took a complete spin, because one of my relatives actually was in the chat room, and he made some sense. We're here to edify the church. We're here to edify. We're not here to show how much I know, because I don't know anything. You give me 3 hours, and I show you how much I don't know. You give me 30 minutes, I'll clean house. You give a fool enough time, and I'm not calling myself a fool. You give a fool enough time, he'll show you how much you don't know. We need to continue to learn. My church, I'm so happy about this. My church, I didn't even know it, because I just started going here a while back, and they have a sort of it's a conglomerate of Bibletologists together, where you take a course at church, and it's accredited. So I get to go to Bible college, and it's really reasonable, $75 a semester, and you finish in 2 years. So I think that's an awesome thing. It's very awesome. I apologize for not looking at the chat room, because I just blanked it on there. So God is good. I mean, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was in my car at the park yesterday watching my son roll skate, because my back is hurting. So I sat in my car and I was listening to a minister, and he was making me cry. And the only thing, the reason why is because one of my daughter's friends crossed over the park, and she looks like she's like, my daughter's only 13, so this child looks like she was high, and she had, I guess her boyfriend was following behind them. I'm like, look at this child. I mean, the child has already run away. My daughter is, you know, we keep my daughter under wraps. But later on, I was on my way home from the park with my son, and my daughter happened to be with the girl, and she looked like she was holding her up. And I was like, you know, being an adult, you're smart, but you want your kids to think you're kind of stupid, so later on you can catch them or something. But anyway, I was like, yeah, everything's okay? Do you need any help? He said, no. Yeah, all right. So I just went on about my business. But I had my wife call my daughter and see how the girl was doing. And the girl was like, a couple years ago, I said, why is my daughter hanging out with this girl? I don't know. But my daughter had, this is the first time my daughter says she's seen this girl. She stopped hanging out with her because I told her to. And anyway, make a long story short, the generation that we're living in is gone. I mean, practically, we have to continue to pray for the generation, and we have to set an influence for our children and make sure that they hang with the right people. My 8-year-old, believe it or not, you believe with the parents. If you're watching the parents lie, eventually they'll lie. And if they see the parents fighting, eventually they're going to fight. And if we see the parents cheating, eventually they're going to cheat. So we have to be careful with that. That's a very important thing. But anyway, Prophecy Zone will be on, coming on every Sunday. We're not going to be doing it Thursdays. But I want you guys to go check out the Common Salvation website. It's going to be called thecommonsalvation.com, but we're trying to get that name. But the website is HTTP /www.commonsalvation. Let me make sure, because I'm on the website actually. Commonsalvation.web, webs.com. So go check it out. I just made it. Believe it or not, it was It's going to be a lot more than what's on that homepage. Trust me. It's a common salvation. And people probably asking why the prophecy zone is taking so long to get set up. My wife fussed at me about that, but it'll be up pretty soon. But without further ado, my next guest has a wonderful ministry. I enjoy listening to her. She's very, she just knows what she's talking about. And she has a heart for people. And that's the most important thing. See, God is looking, he looks after the heart, while man looks at the outward appearance. And we need to have a heart in these last days for the lost, and that's the most important thing. So, and that's very important, because if we don't have a lost, have a heart for the lost, then we don't have God's heart, and that's exactly what we need. I'd like to welcome Val to the show. Val?
Yeah, hi there. Hi, Phil. How are you tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good. Blessed. Couldn't be more blessed. We have a lot to talk about. I was wondering, did you hear any breakup in my phone? Because I'm on my cell phone, believe it or not.
Earlier when you first started, I heard a little bit of breakup, but you sound okay now.
Okay. All right. Now, you're part of Operation, am I saying that right, Revelation 13? Because I'm a member of it, but I get the name kind of butchered.
Yeah, it's Operation 13-9. I put in parentheses what that means, because I've had many people in the past ask me, well, what is Operation, what's 13-9? And actually it's the verse in Revelation 13-9 where it says, for those that have an ear, to hear, which is to listen, which is whole essence of the program.
Yeah, that's an awesome program. And you also did Recharge, right?
Yeah, Recharge Radio. I did a lot of things on Recharge Radio, and now we're doing the WMA Network, which is Women's Ministries Alliance, and we've got a great panel of hosts climbing aboard, and it's all about spreading the message of God, and the most important thing to me is I was very, very much involved in what's known as the Truther movement on the YouTube community, and God just put it on my heart that he basically said stop it, and I didn't understand what he meant by stop it. I thought we were to study the tactics of evil and all that, and things started coming to me, and I'd realized that God was calling me out of that and said, you studied enough, and now it's time to get into me. And I believe that the Lord of Jesus Christ is going to be returning a lot faster and a lot sooner than we all expect,
Yes, indeed. I believe that. And what we're looking at is the messengers for Christ, and I'm so glad that you are so concerned about the women, because even single moms will need to be pointed out into what you're doing, because they need support. But that's awesome. I'm so glad you came on.
It's an honor to be here.
Yes, ma'am. Let's talk about I don't know if you want to even go and talk about your son, but I just saw it on the website. Let's back up a little bit, though. Let's see. I want to know how you got into the study of demonic influence. Now, keep in mind, I understand that you're trying to sort of have a balance here, but I do want to know. What do you think about the occultic influence on our kids? And even coming behind the corner, not necessarily in our face, boogle, 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 you're part of a cult, vampire suit. But mostly how the school systems come and tell us about evolution and Darwinism, and then let's talk about occult. Let's actually talk about occults too, like Wiccan. And Satanist groups. When I used to work at Job Corps, and the kids used to try to tell me, I was also a student there, and they used to try to tell me about Wiccan and all this other stuff, and I would be witnessing them about Jesus Christ. And they would tell me about Wiccan, and I was always you know, I always believed that we should do it in love. But after a while, you know, they either end up picking me apart or I pick them apart, but it's mostly the lighter. But you have love to try to get this, you know, get them to understand. But then sometimes you just lose the fight and walk away. And you come back.
Well, it was very frustrating with my son, because he was raised in a home of, Christian values. And what I mean by that is we weren't, even though I was very close to the Lord and we had the cooked sit-down dinners, and I was a single mom for many years when my children were young, so, you know, I had a lot of challenges. And I always made sure that we discussed the Lord. We read Bible stories. They went to Awana. We didn't necessarily go to church every single weekend or anything like that, but it was definitely present, you know, in our home.
Yes.
So when my son started venturing out into this occult thing, I can remember the first time that he turned his back on God, and this is why I'm so upset at today's churches. It's because, you know, they like to preach things that make you feel good, and they're not getting down to the truth of Jesus Christ. They're not getting down to the truth of people's salvations. And my son had gone up to get healed by some healer up there that was a guest at our church at the time. And see, he's an insulin-dependent diabetic. And he had gone up there to try to get healed from his diabetes. And all I remember was I couldn't even grab him. He started racing towards that stage, and he went up there, and his eyes were just filled with hope and everything else, and he knew God was going to heal him from diabetes. And all I did was I looked at my mom, and my heart sank, because I'm like, you know, if the Lord doesn't find it in his will to heal my son, this is going to devastate him because he's so young. And he went up there, and sure enough, you know, he did not get healed. And
yeah.
That was the turning point for my son, and he started questioning God, and is there really a God, and all this stuff. And before I knew it, he was getting into, as a teenager, he was getting into this whole insane clown posse, his gigolo stuff, you know, this music out there. And it's ICP and some other crazy music like that. And I'm telling you, Satan has got a hold of our children through the music, through the media, through the industry, through our school systems. Evolution is a master plan of Satan himself. It does not exist. I just had a scientist that I interviewed on Freedomizer Radio that scientifically debunked evolution, yet it still goes into our school systems. It's indoctrinated our children. And the thing that's really scary is the children are so into the world, okay? You know, the world's telling them, you've got to be successful. You've got to have the American dream. You've got to have success and material items, and you've got to have that six-figure income and all this stuff, and it's all about me, 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 generation me.
Uh-huh,
and before
uh-huh.
you know it, the children are getting lost into this whole misconception, misdirected and misguided delusion, if you will. And that's all Satan's plan. So my son was introduced to this Wiccan religion, and you know, I said to my son, you know, what's going on with you? We got on the subject of religion, and he says, well, you're not going to like it, Mom. And I said, okay, well, what's going on? And he says, well, I'm a Wiccan. I said, you're what? He said, I'm a Wiccan. I said, Wiccan? I said, son, do you have any idea what the heck you are dealing with? He says, Wiccan is a good religion, Mom. It's about love. It's about this. It's about that. It's about the light. And he's trying to say all this stuff, right? And he's trying to learn me, teach me about how this is a good thing. And all I could do was, you know, he had a deaf ear to me. He would not listen. And all I could do was just pray over him and pray over him. And then, I don't know, about a year or so had passed. And then he'd actually said that he was now went from Wiccan straight into Satanism. He had the Black Bible written by Anton LaVey. He was doing the pentagrams and trying to talk with demons and all this stuff. I just couldn't believe it. And I'm, you know, all I could do was pray. And that was it. He had a deaf ear to me. And it was through my sickness with the swine flu where I almost died, you know, that that's what snapped him out of it. And you said earlier in your show that God works in mysterious ways, you know, like you just had a rent bill and then you got your money. Well, I was on a pretty much a deathbed with swine flu. I had the bacteria in my lungs, and they were just pumping away the IVs, literally like six different antibiotics and antiviruses and all this stuff. And finally, I started recovering, but not before my son, with that opportunity, got on his knees and repented and asked God for forgiveness, because he had sold his soul to Satan and he wanted back with God, and he knew that God was right. He said, God, if you're real, you heal my mom, you make her live, and I will be your servant. And I see, I want to cry right now, because I did heal. And when I talked to my son, he told me, he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, honey, I'm okay. I'm going to be released tomorrow. And my lungs just started clearing up, and the doctors were happy. All of a sudden, I'm feeling better. And he said, oh, my God, it worked. Oh, my God, it worked. And I said, well, what are you talking about? Because I had no idea what was going on. And he said, Mom, and he started crying. He said, I gave myself back to Jesus, and
wow,
now I'm going to get baptized, because I told God that if you live, that I promised to be a servant. And I said, wow. But, you know, the whole, yeah, it was an amazing story. And to this day, you know, he's vigilantly working in Scripture and just getting closer each day. Praise God for that.
Oh,
but
the
occult is a bad spell, my friend. It's a bad spell on our children.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And the great thing I'm going to tell you this about is I don't remember exactly where I got. I read a lot, and then I was made a preacher said this today, but he was saying that I know who it is. Yeah. But anyway, this individual was saying that if you get saved or you come back to Jesus, there was probably somebody—a grandma, a mother, a father, a friend, a coworker—that was praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is deep, because it shows a common thread between the body of Christ and even those potential people who are a body of Christ. Because in the book of Revelations, it talks about the smoke of the prayers of the saints are coming up to the altar of God, because they are praying for the people who are either back, the people who are back on earth, and they're asking how long the people, the brothers and sisters on earth, have to put up with this stuff. So the prayers for the unsaved and your family members and your cousins, do not give up. Always, for everybody out there, always persevere. Because like for my kids, or at least for one of them, I mean, my kid is not—he's not in satanic worship or nothing, but my kid is in the world system. And the danger about that, though, is that the person in the world system, you can't act. You can go to them and say, "Okay, this is what you're doing wrong." But if the person's not getting in trouble every 5 minutes, or the person's not drinking, but they're just in the world system, it's hard to bring them. They say, "Okay, Jesus wants you to live for Him." It's hard to say that. At least for a person who is doing bad, you can actually say, "Hey, you're doing bad, so you need Jesus."
Well, yeah, and absolutely, and to take it, and you know, Phil, to take it and into an even deeper reflection about prayer and how powerful it is. If you remember in Acts, you know, Cornelius' dream, you know, the angel told Cornelius that his good deeds and his prayers have ascended to as memorials before the throne of God. Well, there's one example of things that go before God, but not only that, it says that the Holy Spirit Himself prays for us. It sends the spirit inside us sends out groans and things and noises.
Hallelujah.
That only the Lord understands. And that's basically, if you don't know what to pray for because you're in a dark area of your life, you can be certain that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. You have so much support in walking with Jesus Christ. You have more support than people give credit for. You really do.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. God is going to come to you on your behalf, and all things work together for the good to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's an awesome thing, man. Oh, my gosh. Praise God.
Yeah, and you speak about the system, you know, how hard it is. I could tell you, Phil, you know, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit at 8 years old, and it's only taken me since, you know, in just in recent years, I'm 37 years old now, and it's only in recent years, I've been partially detached from the world my whole life, pretty much, but it's only in recent years that I now understand how worldly I was. We're raised in the tradition of the world, and my friends, the world is the beast. You need to get out of it.
Yes, indeed. And the churches today are filled with
pathetic.
Yeah, I mean that's where when I read Revelations, when Jesus is talking about, and it's written in red, is Jesus speaking about Laodicea, and I wish that you were hot or cold. He's saying, I wish you were fired up for me, or I wish you was just a pimp on the Avenue Street. At least I can get to you. But the lukewarm church, a lot of that's prosperity. And like I said earlier, I don't have anything against prosperity. I mean, I don't have anything against God blessing me or blessing anybody else. But the thing is, the focus should be the relationship. And like you were saying, it took you that long. It took me 35 years to figure out that you needed a relationship with Jesus, but it took me just recently to realize that you really need a relationship with Jesus. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but the relationship, I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I've felt it before, but I'm saying I can feel the submission is important because he has to be both Lord and Savior. And people out there believe that you can say a prayer, I can just sit down, you know, go to the crusade. And that's cool because his word will not return void. But the importance is that he's going to get, I believe, when it's all said and done and the tribulation does start, and the Bible says that millions and millions and millions upon millions of people will be saved, that is good news. Because me and your sister, me and your, and everybody else who has a radio program on Blog Talk Radio who have archives, those archives will be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
People
absolutely
don't realize
and, that. Yeah, and that's the thing is what we're doing is we're treading on now. We're treading on now. And this is the time right now that I believe that God is pouring out his spirit among his people because people are coming out of that truther movement and getting right before God. We need to focus because, you know, it says that if you don't watch, okay, and a lot of people have mistaken my message, and that is I'm not saying that, we're not supposed to watch prophecy. We are supposed to watch prophecy. But the thing is we're supposed to be watchers, not worshipers of prophecy. We're not supposed to be worshiping Satan by constantly having the newspaper in one hand, the Bible in the other.
Yeah.
That is frantic living. We're supposed to live life accordingly to the word that brings joy, spread the gospel, get right before God in your spirit, because my friends, he is about ready to emerge into this world, and these sinners that mock God, I'm going to tell you something, they're going to be the first to get on their knees and realize how wrong they were. But unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't happen, but many times the Lord is going to be too late for them. It's going to be too late.
Yes, and I like how you said that because my show is called The Prophecy Zone. I like how you said that because I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I was saying my relative came into the chat room a couple weeks ago, and he said we need to be edifying the church, and that made so much sense. And I'm like, you know what? I gotta watch who I have on. And it's not, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, but I have to watch who I have on my show. I have to pray about it. And it's good because I had a brother, I had somebody on here earlier talking about the New World Order, and he was talking about the church movement, but he's good. But at the same time, I want to get people on this, I see breaking the silence in the chat room, I want to get people like yourself on the show and breaking the silence who are going to talk about what's important to the body of Christ. So it's a blessing to have you on the show.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Phil. I've followed many of your shows, and you do an outstanding job. And I tell you, it's people like you, me, and Ruckus, and Texas Author out there, and even Freedomizer Radio. Many of their hosts are doing such a great job. And it's people like this that are just coming together and realizing, you know what? We need to stop spreading the truth of Satan, we need to start spreading the truth of Yeshua, the truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, because, you know, if we're not taking that time to get right before God, and we're spending all of our time studying the evils of the world, we're taken away from God, but most importantly, we're taken away from our own salvation, because, honestly, are you ready right now to stand before God? I know I'm not. No way, I got things to work out.
And the thing about the getting ready is that the when lamps were filled with five of the virgins and the lamps were empty on the other, and I don't know about, you know, but the important thing is that we that walk with Jesus. It says in Romans that if we say, I mean, we have the Spirit of God is in us, then we are, you know, children of God. But the Spirit of God is not there, we're not. So that's the seal. That's the marriage ring. It actually is more important than the symbolic marriage ring we hold today, because the marriages today are flimsy. But as far as the marriages that God is talking about, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So once you're born again, and there are people out there that say, well, you know, you can use your salvation. But see, if God is on the top of the parade, looking down on the parade, he sees the whole parade. See, we only see sections of the parade, whatever section we're living in. So when it says there's, God knows, he says, my Father has given me these people, and I will not lose them. So he knows exactly who's actually saved. So that saying that we will not lose our salvation is from the perspective of the individual who is saved, because he wants you to know that, hey, because there are times in my life when I was saved, I would say, man, am I saved? Do I really? And you're doubting. But there's times where you have to say, well, what did God say? You know, not what do I say, not the what I believe. What does the Word of God say?
Well, you have to understand, right? Sorry to interrupt you. Well, I was just going to respond to that, and that is this. You know, we operate on a human level, okay?
Yes.
And we are limited in that way. And there are moments of darkness in our life, even for Christians to feel, you know, darkened and in despair, and, you know, God, and I don't understand this. It's not that God is abandoning you, you see. The thing is he will never take you through something that you can't go through. And he'll never allow any sin to present itself in front of you without a way out from it, without an escape from it. And we have to take faith that even though you don't sometimes feel God is there in your life, he is there. He is there. The thing is he could be using this moment, whatever might be in your moment that may be dark or despairing, to build you up, to build character in you, and to make you into a better person, to mold you, to discipline you. He disciplines those he loves, just like any parent does their child.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let us. I had two guests. I had you and another person on, but we're going to probably take it to about, I walked out on the deck. We're going to take it to about, it's supposed to be an hour and 30 minutes show, so it's supposed to go to about 8:30, so about 8:20. Where are you located?
I'm actually in Oregon.
Okay, so you're on my side. So about 8:30. We'll take it to about 8:20. And then I'll run my mouth for a little bit because I got some announcements, and then we're good. But I want to have you back on, though, for a longer show.
Okay.
We got some things. My wife is trying to try out for Biggest Loser, so we still got some videos to shoot upstairs. So I want to catch her tonight before, because she's coming off of maternity leave, so she's going back to work for the first time tomorrow. So we want to hurry up and do some stuff before it gets too late. So, let's talk about we mentioned the coming of the Lord. Let's talk about a little Bible prophecy, or a current event. Let's say current event.
And also, let's also talk about salvation, because that's a, that's an important thing, the most important thing. But and let's talk about these things, but getting ready. And also, we're not. I do believe that the church will see something. Now, I don't know if you preach it, but I mean, I'm not going to get into that. But if we, regardless, I believe the church is going to see something. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that, I'll give you for instance, I do believe that it's important to have something extra stocked up. Now, I'm not a person who believes that, I think it's quite smart to have your something stocked up, because one day the electricity went out in our city for a while, and they had to close down the grocery stores and everything. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a little preparation, you know, just okay. on the physical side too. So let's back up and let's talk about Bible prophecy. What do you see? What did the Lord? What is your eyes being opened to? As far as the coming of the Lord and as far as current events, I know the earthquakes are big, and they're not. I mean, they are really big. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I would say that what I personally think as far as where we're at in prophecy is, I believe that we are in the beginning of sorrows. I believe that we are entering into the 7-year tribulation. I believe we have entered into the 7-year tribulation, and these next 3.5 years is going to be, it's not going to be real apparent to other people that are non-Christian, but during these first 3.5 years, this is the time that the gathering of His people is taking effect right now, because so many Christians out there are testifying and bearing witness to the fact that God is starting to really draw close to us. And, yeah, we have all of the earthquakes and all this stuff. We've got Israel still going back and forth. We've got Middle East tensions on the brink of war. There's nothing new there. That's been going on for many years. But I do believe that we're starting to see this new world government starting to take effect in America. And it's using the healthcare system as a way of introducing this dictatorial type of kingdom, if you will. And that's the best way to do it, because everybody needs health care. So I believe that that is happening. I believe that the Antichrist will reveal himself within the next few years. And I don't know who he is. There's a lot of suspects out there, but it's just too soon to name who he is right now. We just don't know. But the thing about it is, I believe we are definitely in the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. That's where my heart is laying right now.
Okay. Yeah, this a lot of people I noticed. I like what you said earlier. You were talking about as far as Bible prophecy, people hold it. If you listen to some of my past shows, you hear me say, I don't hold the patent to Bible prophecy. And that is true. I don't have the magic key, the Holy Grail. I don't have the what's going to happen. We're all out of the sort of the people don't the people who are for sure that is going to know who the Antichrist is, regardless of the pre-trib, post-trib, whoever's in the tribulation period will know who the Antichrist is. As far as I'm concerned, as far as the Bible's concerned, I believe that when Jesus was talking to the Church of Philadelphia, he says, I'm going to take you out of the time of testing. And the Church of Philadelphia was one of the only churches that was 100% commended without any negative. And I believe that's relationship. If you read it in Revelation, it talks about, he's talking to the Church of Philadelphia, he says, you're weak. And that means you need me. And I believe that when he said it is finished on the cross, he meant that it's finished. And a lot of people think that God, he's created a rock that he can't move. And people don't believe that the church, is justified by Christ on the cross.
Right,
and
absolutely.
And he said to the church of Philadelphia, I'll read it for you. He says, I know that works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. He says, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not. And then it goes on and says, because thou hast kept the words of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwelleth upon the earth. Now, a lot of people say, why then is the word church not mentioned if the church of Laodicea goes into the tribulation period? Because they wouldn't the church in the first place. Well, what I mean by that is Jesus said, I'm going to let the wheat and the tares grow together. And at harvest time, I'm going to take the wheat, and I'm going to allow the tares to go through the machine so they can come out, and then I can burn them up. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's going on. Laodicea, he says, if you don't straighten out, I'm going to come at an hour that you think not. I'm going to come quick.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people believe the church should be punished. I mean, but if you look at it, the wheat and the tares, they're the true people walking after God, after God's heart, and there's some that are not.
Mm-hmm.
So God has a favorite. He said, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate it. So the cross is very important. The cross should not be eliminated. And the cross says the day of the Lord is God's judgment upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant for the righteous. It's meant for if this God has appointed, has not appointed us to wrath. So,
you're right because you know those that are in His word, and that church that you're talking about isn't a building. It's a people's, and
yes.
You know, a lot of people they misinterpret a lot of what Scripture is saying. You know, prophecy in itself is very subjective. And that's what makes the area very difficult for understanding it. And the thing I don't believe that children of God are going to go through the wrath, which is the day of judgment. But we have to understand there are two events that's going to happen. The coming of Jesus Christ and the day of the Lord are two different events. And and see, people get that. They want to mesh that together, and that's why it's so confusing for them to understand that when the Lord Jesus comes on the clouds, He will. That's when the rapture event takes place. That is when He gathers up His people. He sends out the angels to gather up His people that have the seal of God on their foreheads, and they are taken out of here. And then the day of judgment comes, which is the complete wrath of God on earth. We are not present with that. We are not going to have to go through that. However, my personal view is that I believe that we are going to go through tribulation. However, we will not go through that day of judgment on the earth.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of uncomfortable for a lot of people to be in the tribulation period completely, because the reason why I say that is because the gospel is being preached, and if you really think about it, we have to define when is the 144,000 preaching, and then when is the two witnesses preaching, and then you have to ask yourself the question, or we have to ask ourselves the question. Why isn't the church, if God built the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, why isn't it preaching? Is it that weak?
My understanding of the two witnesses is actually a spiritual understanding that is the Old and New Testament of the Bible, and the witnesses there actually is the Word of God and the preaching of God by many peoples. And I believe that when the world succeeds at getting rid of religion, that's basically what they're going to be celebrating over is that. However, you know, there's different interpretations, but I will say on the common ground scale of all of us together, whether anybody believes in a pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib or no-trib rapture event, we have to understand that we have to be ready for the Lord at all times. We can't be just, you know, do we have to, you mentioned earlier, should we do some kind of physical provisions? Yes, I believe that we are called to do that. And look at the ants. You know, Proverbs and talks about how they study the ants. You know, they gather their food during the summer so they can survive during the winter. Well, it's the same thing he's telling us is to be prepared. But you know, the most importantly is I think what's going on right now is we see this trend of people that is holding on to their flesh and not holding on to their spirit, because they're preparing for fleshly survival and they should be focusing on the spiritual survival. And that's number one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. This has nothing to do with the show. But when you have your show, do you have problems with callers?
Once in a while, I will.
Okay. I apologize if that was, because I kind of remember your area code. I don't know if that's one of the brothers from Breaking the Silence, because it was a area code, special area code, and I was thinking, but I'm so chicken to pick up the line now that I'm not even talking with it. So I apologize if that was you. I kind of recognize the area code. It looks familiar. But if you listen to some of my past shows, I've had, oh my goodness, if you want to call that enemy a demonic attack, I've had everybody in the chat room that's from Islamic people calling people infidel to weird outburst. I mean, oh my goodness, I've just had a hard time.
It goes back with my recent demonic attack, and it had been on such a scale that I had never been attacked that way before. But you have to remember, when you're doing work of God, it's gonna make Satan mad, and he's gonna send out some demons to you. And I think God, you know, it doesn't get past God. God has to give authority to it. But you have to understand also that that I believe that God uses everything to his advantage. So he is, do you realize how many Christians right now are going through some kind of demonic attack or have been going through some large-scale demonic attack? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. It's because he is sharpening that double-edged sword to be able to divide between the asunder of the spirit and the soul, and he is testing us who he's going to place on that front battlefield, because he's going to use people like us, the strong spiritual prepared people, to actually engage in battle. And he is actually preparing us for some huge event. And if you are one of these Christians that are going through or have gone through recently a major demonic attack, you need to count that as a blessing to you, because God is using you. He is actually going to be preparing something big for you. And it's about winning crowns. People get offended by me saying sometimes, you know, it's about crowns. It is about crowns. Paul tells you, you know, race to win. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be racing to win. You're supposed to be competitive. You're supposed to be trying to win crowns and of different honors when you get up to the throne. You're supposed to be doing that. That's the work of God.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yes, indeed. This is definitely a time to pray for the nation, pray for the president, pray for Congress, pray for your elected officials. Yeah, Israel. It's just a time to pray for various kids in high schools around your area, of whoever's listening out there, because the high schools are, believe it or not, the next generation coming up, if the Lord wills and time tarries, they're going to be running things. And we already, if you look at Congress, I don't know if that's good news or bad news, but I mean, the Congress is just completely Pelosi. I mean, I listen to Christian radio all the time, and I got Christian music and stuff. But Pelosi, there's one of the shows, Jay Sekulow Live, I think it was, and he's playing Nancy Pelosi. And this lady, the more you listen to her, the more she makes the people on Saturday Night Live look good. I mean, seriously, the lady is just unique, and she needs prayer. I mean, a lot of these guys need prayer, and they really anti-Christian. I mean, a lot of these people run for president every 4 years, and they want to bring up religion, and they want to bring up, you know, the abortion issue. That's a lucky charm. Everybody wants to be on one side of abortion. Well, if you have 8 years of George Bush and you still got abortion, I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, you still got abortion. I mean, it doesn't. Right. Why even run on it? Because they use it as a lucky charm, just like religion. Religion, believe it or not, I'm a Christian. Oh, I love God. You know, so I'm at church. And okay, the election's over. The next president of the United States, you flash his face up on the screen. The 48th president, you know, and then all of a sudden, you don't hear anything about God anymore from him. I think that's ridiculous, myself.
Well, you know, it really goes down. It really goes back to this. If you're looking at the scriptures and the prophetic scriptures, you know, this world is passing away, and pretty soon the fourth kingdom is emerging right now. It's been emerging for a while. It's starting to come up to surface, which is the complete doctrination of evil in every form. And there's going to come a time. And the prayers is not going to work for the nations. You got to continue to pray for Israel because that is a holy state of God's promise. However, as far as nations with America and with you know, all the other nations out there, you got to understand pretty soon ain't going to be no prayers are going to work because what's going to happen is going to happen. We need to start praying for the people, you know, and really reaching out to people to gather in God's name and get spiritually prepared because. Pretty soon, we're going to need to come out of that world, and you need to let go of that world because that world, this world that we live in right now, is going to be destroyed.
Yes, indeed, and it's going to be destroyed very quickly, and God is going to call out someone to serve him. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back on the other side.
All right.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist?
I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is the Prophecy Zone.
I guess by now you guys know you're listening to the Prophecy Zone. I just get carried away with the commercials. I think I just like getting up on the soapbox here. I just like the commercials, not necessarily I
that's
want
a
anybody
great,
to
that's a great commercial, actually.
Yeah, I just like to get up. I don't know. I just like hearing them. My son, if you hear my son, he said he listened to it. He couldn't hardly talk because his teeth was missing.
I would love for your editor to do my commercial.
Oh yeah, that'd be no problem. I mean, we'll talk offline. It's very reasonable. You'd be surprised. But I would love to have you come on local. Radio station pretty soon. Me and my wife, we're doing good as far as we're going to start saving a lot. That has nothing to do with end times or nothing. We just think to be prudent with our money. And we had a scare where we started saving, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, you know. And our bank, what the bank asked for is now they're asking for, if you're going to have like an overdraft or something come in, they want to have you tell them and sign a piece of paper saying this is going to happen. So we have like two or three accounts. So we have to take the savings and cover another something else. So God wants us to be prudent with our money. And it took 40 years actually, to actually just get sick enough to say, you know what, I've been a fool long enough. It had nothing to do with the end times or nothing. If the world goes on for 20 years, I would rather be smart with my money and have some emergency funds than just to wing it and live from paycheck to paycheck. And I think if we manage the money that we have, we can actually be rich. And what I mean by rich is, if you do things smart and you're content, you know, to save and to buy and not to buy with cash and not on credit, and you try to eliminate the bills and try to keep the initial bills like the rent, the electric, all that stuff, and just keep it current, I think life would be much easier for us than to go out to, you know, old country buffet in the movies and spend all the money up and then buy a big screen TV when you don't have any money but buy it on credit. And from rent on, I think that would make life really miserable. And then go out and buy a new car on top of that. So I think it's good to be prudent with our money. And believe it or not, after being even saved for that long, now tithing has been, but if you're screwing up your money and you're not listening to God's principles, be the head and not the tail, then you're gonna mess up tithing, and it's gonna be a really act of faith to pay tithes on top of what you already messed up. So let's be realistic out there and let's do the right thing with our finances. God is on the throne. And he needs to be on the throne of our lives. He's on the throne, and he controls the whole universe. And as far as the universe is concerned, those people out there who don't believe that there is a God, I think you guys should take a walk to the library or get on your computer and look at pictures of the universe. Look at pictures of the bottom of the sea. Look at pictures of the anatomy of the human body. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 14, a fool that said in his heart there is no God. And the more I think about it, the more I understand. My church has a seminar that I'm going to, Answers in Genesis, next week. What do you think about that?
about the creation and as far as not saying that there is a God, atheism.
You mean what do I think about, I'm not quite sure about your question.
As far as atheists, there are a lot of atheists who believe that there isn't a God. As far as the question is concerned, as far as what are your views on the subject of Christianity versus atheism?
Well, I think that, you know, people who take an atheist viewpoint, okay, there is no God, and when you die, you die. It's all scientific, and it's just evolution, and we just happen to be here by chance. You know, I think, honestly, that deep down, they still search because they're constantly, how many atheists do you see on YouTube especially that are constantly watching Christian videos and people talking about God? I think there's still some, so you have to understand something. We were made to worship something, okay? And if we're made, it's in our DNA, it's in our being. We were made to worship something. And we were made to worship God, but we're still made to worship something. So atheists are worshiping the world, if you will. They're worshiping the world, they're worshiping technology, they're worshiping science, all the things of the world, and it's still not feeding the hunger inside them. And I don't care what atheist comes across me, they still have a want to know. They still say, somebody please prove it. And they want to base everything on proof, okay? And unfortunately, God doesn't work that way. He can prove to you many things in your life, you know, with different things. You know how God works. But these people are blinded from it. And you got to understand also that, you know, God's not, you know, he can't save everyone. He knocks on their door. But he says, you know, he can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's the same deal. Yes. Eventually, they're going to be sealed off permanently from God or even knowing him. And a lot of that's when they harden their heart. They've made their mind up, but God says, fine. And he basically shuts their eyes, shuts the spiritual ears, and therefore they have no way to God.
Yeah. Yeah, I never heard it like that before, but as far as they are... It's like they're in a vacuum of curiosity, which may lead them into, you know, so you never know. Yeah, and that's, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
right.
I want to address some of the issues of atheism, and to me it just sounds interesting to try to, but like you said earlier, and like I believe too, God wants us to pinpoint our message. And one of the things is to edify the church, and the other thing is to get the warning out in Ezekiel 33. And if we're too busy trying to, and I think it's good with today's technology, trust me, a lot of the studying could be speeded up, you know, because I'm a slow reader. I'm like one of those readers who have to read the same thing over and over again, but I can read a book quick. For some reason, I like to skip chapters and come back to that chapter. I don't know why I do that. But as far as YouTube has speeded up technology, and even the Bible said in the last days, the knowledge will increase.
Right. And
I see why. Yes, ma'am, because I know about, like, the fossil records, the discrepancies in the fossil records. I mean, it's a lot of things that we know, and there's a lot of things we don't know, and I think reading is a benefit to it. And,
let me just stop you there, because if you understand what happened at the very foundation, what happened in the Garden of Eden, they ate from what? The tree of knowledge, okay?
Yes.
To know the difference between good and evil. And when God says that in an end days that knowledge will increase, he didn't say that the knowledge of good will increase. He didn't say the knowledge of evil will increase. He just said knowledge will increase. But you got to understand that goes equal. The knowledge of evil and of good will increase. That's why we're seeing this huge emerging spiritual battlefield just become more present in our everyday lives, because not only is the good increasing, but just as much that evil is also increasing.
Yes. And like I said, they help with the technology. It really is. Yes, indeed. I like the way you have on your website, you have various, I just like the way you have your setup, especially Operation 13. I mean, it's just awesome how you do. I need some help with that. Oh, my. Because it's like I get stuck. I get writer's block. I get website block, I guess you could call it that. But do you have a lot of people coming on to there? I mean, how many people do you suggest might come on some of your websites? Because I saw also your new website for the Women's Alliance.
Yeah, that's brand new. Not many people there yet, but as we get going on the WMA network, I hope more come. It's you can find that website at WMANetwork.ning.com. But the Operation 13-9 website, that is geared for mostly for people who wanted to who wants to prepare for in days, and also exchange information, share ideas. These are all people that are like-minded, you know, Christians, and people of all different walks of life and backgrounds are there. There's nearly 400 members, and every day I'm approving more members, so it's growing, and it's just a wonderful site, you know, lots of great people on there, and that's what really makes the site work. You can go there and join your state group and network with people close to you, and if you're, you know, if you're doing your spiritual preparations, you should be doing your physical preparations as well, if that's what the Lord is leading you, and this place is a place that you can do that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's, and also, do you have a website officially yet?
No, not official. I'm using the Ning sites right now. You know, I live a very humble life. I don't have a lot of money, but everything that I need, God gives me, and it's basically I live on needs. I don't have any extras. So, as far as websites go, you know, I don't have a lot of money for something like that. So I use the social networks, the free ones out there, and if those that want interest in that, that's you can find it at operation13-9.ning.com.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay. You, what is your next show for the Women's Alliance? When is that going to be on?
I'm actually at 9 o'clock tonight, Pacific time. I have a show coming up. It's going to be an open forum. We'll talk about all different stuff and I'll do some kind of prophecy reporting and getting into spiritual warfare and armor of God. That's what I'll probably discuss tonight.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, let's talk before the last couple of minutes. Let's talk about, I know we need a lot more time. We probably need a separate show, but let's talk about the importance of the armor of God.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, the first foundation of our armor is the belt of truth. And I think that, you know, it says in the end days that many will fall away from the truth and start chasing off on these bunny trails with the demonic doctrines out there. And we need to stay really, really close to the Word of God. And we need to not venture out of the Word of God. And in order to put that belt of spiritual truth on you, you've got to take active things that you do every day, which is number one, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning when you're having your coffee, is you open your scriptures. Even if you read maybe two or three Psalms in the morning, that's starting your day off with the truth of knowledge in your head. You know, you go throughout your day, but in order to put the rest of the armor on, you've got to be an honest person. You've got to stand for truth. You've got to be in truth. And you have to lead a truthful life and be true to who you are. And those are things right there, that right there can take up a whole show, because I tell you, it's very detailed. This armor, you know, we have all these breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation and the sword, which is the Word of God. All of those things should really be what we're concentrating on, because that's what we need in our end days. And it's not just about brushing through the scriptures and saying, okay, great, belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness. Well, really, do you know what that is? Do you know what that means to apply it to your everyday life? Do you know how to apply those things to your everyday life? And that's what that's what I'm going to be focusing on WMA Network and my YouTube channel. But right now it's the Belt of Truth, and that's a very important piece of the armor. You know, it holds all of the rest of the armor in place, and you've got to look at it that way, you know?
Yeah, yes, indeed, because the Bible, it talks about the truth that sets you free. The truth, the Word of God, is not to be tampered with. And I always talk about on my show about the simplicity of Christ. And a lot of people leave that simplicity and go off. The foundation should stay the same. If you're going to build a big castle, and your foundation should be strong. Now, a lot of people have a lot of construction companies, because I used to be an engineer in the Army. If you're going to go the next step after the foundation, you need a special approval. Okay, can we continue to build the rest of the building? It's very important that you secure and you be secure in that foundation. And that's why Jesus gave that verse. He gave it in the Bible about the building your house upon sand, and or building your house upon, you know, a strong ground, which is the foundation, and with Jesus is the foundation. And a lot of people, what they do is you go on a trip and you pass the house because you get in a conversation, you go so far out, you got to turn back around. Well, a lot of people, they study the Word, and that's good. But then we start getting to, and I'm going to say this because my show is called The Prophecy Zone, we get off on tangents on who is the Antichrist. Is Al Gore the Antichrist? I mean, we get into ridiculous conversations, and the Bible warns us about endless genealogies and things that don't profit anything. We get off into UFOs, and all that stuff has its place. I mean, but we need to continue to have that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, you said it best, because people see God's not complicated. It's people who complicate God.
Yes.
Honestly, I mean, Jesus Christ, he was, the Bible, in a way, has been able to even reach the most simple-minded person, meaning they don't have a whole lot of education, but they can feel the presence of the living Word starting to work through them, and the Holy Spirit guides them in understanding Scripture. And where do theologians or Bible scholars get off with trying to complicate every little thing? They're running off on bunny trails. Well, let's figure out the Antichrist. Excuse me, but Scripture very well says, you know, you're going to know who the Antichrist is when you see him, you know, standing in the holy place, the holy of holy, the abomination of desolation. You're going to know.
Indeed.
You know, but we have to feed our ego. See, if we're the first one to figure out who the Antichrist is, and then it comes to be, then that's my flesh crown, you know, for people. Yeah. What is that?
Or figuring out when or two, you know. I believe, like, you're right. Because if you listen to a couple of my shows last year around the summertime, you notice I tried to pull myself out of it. And believe it or not, even when we were talking tonight, I have a habit, and I'm learning, sister. I'm really learning. I think it's from the military career, and I'm a male. So I have to, and I'm having a hard time trying to balance, saying, okay, how do you become a good mediator when there's another word that they use for a round table discussion, when there's the main person who is kind of like facilitating the thing, and be a person who can sometimes keep his mouth shut and say, okay, this person has their opinion. I kid you not, sister. It's the Peter comes out of me. And you probably not. It does. I mean, I'm a male.
It comes out in me, too,
The Pittsburgh Steelers is better than the Dallas Cowboys. How dare you say that, you know? That's it, you know? But I've been really blessed tonight. And I'm so glad that you came on, and I'm going to be calling you again. And also, like I say, I'm going to be doing a local radio program here probably in a couple of weeks. And I'm lining up the schedule.
I'll be happy to join you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. And even to a point, you can actually guest host, because I'm going to at least have one guest host to break up the monotony. I only have 4 shows in 1 month, but God is going to, I have a feeling that God is going to
bless the Sting, and it's going to go, because I'm also be looking at WWCR. I've also got them wanting to give me a chance, and the God has opened up the word.
You know, yes, I would be honored to do that, and I would be honored to be on any team that is God-focused. And, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, you said it earlier with how do you get away from your own ego is kind of what you're saying. And that happens. It's discipline. I've been there. I've done that. You know, I've gone off tangents trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. I've named a few. And you know, God's basically telling me, you need to stop. Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can carry it away, you know, just like anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, let's do a show on Blog Talk, because most of the time the shows on Blog Talk, I have to make sure there's no copyright. I have to actually contact Blog Talk to make sure I can splice this thing off and send it, because most of the time I'm going to do my shows from here because it's so easy. Hopefully it comes in clear, but and then I'll splice it and send it off to the regular radio program. So I'll be getting in contact with you, and it's going to be here, but it's going to be mostly private, no chat room. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so thank you so much. It's been a blessing. It's been a wonderful evening with you here. I appreciate you, Val.
Hey, you know what, Phil, my brother, you keep on treading in the Word of God. You're doing an awesome, awesome works, and every day we learn together, and that's what it's all about. And I'm honored to be here, and thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Val, you have a wonderful week. Everybody out there, y'all have a wonderful week. I still got a couple of minutes. I want y'all to go on to it's called Common Salvation. Actually, the website is http://common, no www, just commonsalvation.web, it's spelled webs.com, and go on there and just look a little bit. I'm getting that website together, but it's actually on, unlike the Prophecy Zone, which is still not on. Actually, you can go on the prophecyzone.com. It's not 100% finished, but you can go and look at it, whatever. We're going to be getting these through the search engine. And also I'm going to start doing videos on the Common Salvation, which will talk about just that, what Drew talked about, that Common Salvation, the simplicity of Christ, the simple gospel, no confusion. But we're gonna have various preachers on there, so don't let it scare you off when you go on the Common Salvation. And it's talking about Christianity and crisis and you know and various. Because I have also Ray Comfort. You see his face. You go down and you see life after death videos. Don't let those scare you, because we also gonna see compromises of the gospel. We're gonna put a lot of videos on here and a lot of information that's going to be pertaining to the edifying the church. So I don't want people getting scared off, because we even got some stuff on various movements like the Da Vinci Code, Con. So I wanted to put some interesting things there before we kind of mellow it out with preachers that are going to teach various subjects of the gospel that we need to be stewards of God's word, stewards of God's time, and we need to also have a relationship with Jesus that's going to get. We need to, and my preacher preached about that today, the importance of the relationship and time. We have to spend time with God, and this is me too. Then he said transparency. When you're praying to God, it has to come from the heart. It has to come out of the heart with conviction. If you have a problem, we need to be able to address God. Hey, God, I have this problem. I don't know how to do this. I mean, I need your help. Instead of saying, Lord, let me down to sleep. Okay, I'm done. You know, I'm going to go to bed now. And we have all been there. We've all been there where we say these quick prayers and we're done. But we need transparency. We need a heart feel, just like you listening to your wife, or your husband, or your your son or your daughter, when they're putting their heart out to you. We need to put our heart out to God. And God is going to, he's going to come back and he's going to talk. He's going to speak. And we need that. We don't need to have a religious relationship. Now, church is cool. I'm not saying it's not, but if that's all our salvation is going to church on Sunday to punch a clock, then we need, and that's the best place, believe it or not, because this word will not return back void. But we have, the Bible says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and this and this? I never knew you. And we want to know the Lord. But right now we want to give submission to him where we actually know that he's working in our lives and we acknowledge that he's guiding us and he's the Lord. And folks, it's not the easiest thing in the world to give up submission. We need to release. God, Jesus, John said that I must decrease, that he must increase. And that's the most important thing in the world. We're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back with closing remarks.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. The General Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered.
I played that part, the common salvation, and then he goes on to talk about contending for that faith. We have to contend, folks, for the faith. And it's a hard thing. It's like some people go and they try for football teams and don't make it because the heart could have been there, but they just wasn't good enough, or the coaches thought something else. But there's also people who try out for these teams, but they don't contend the right way. Their heart is not in it. Folks, we have to have a heart that's in this. We have to have a heart that's in this, because if we don't have a heart that's in this, we're not going to make it. We're not. We're not going to make it. If you're out there listening to the church world, if you're listening to TBN, a lot of those programs there aren't going to tell you that you need to contend. Not talking about getting a color, getting a nice color TV or a new Rolls Royce. I'm talking about contending. You can be poor and contend for the faith. The poor, blessed is the poor in spirit. Not the poor in the pocket, the poor in spirit. That he should inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he's looking for. That's what he chose to talk to the church of Philadelphia. If you're weak, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. The church of Philadelphia needs Jesus. The church of Laodicea is lukewarm. They don't need Jesus. I mean, they need him anytime they get in trouble. I got to pull him out of my pocket. Oh, okay, now I don't need you, God. But stay away from me now. I don't need you, okay? I need you now. We don't have a leprechaun God. We have a true God. And his name is Jesus, and he's coming back soon. And his reward is with him. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. That's what that means. It says, why does it say judgment must begin in the house of the Lord? Because Jesus is coming back for his church, and we have to be ready. And if we're not ready, he's going to come to us on an hour that we think not. Join me on Thursday, as I talk about the end times, and I'm going to go into depth, and we're going to talk about current events, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a scenario of events that can take place in the next couple of months or years, okay? But God bless everybody out there, and I love y'all to have a wonderful day, and I'll be praying for y'all. God bless. God bless.